Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Follow the Lead podcast, a Christian leader podcast powered by Greg Fay Insurance. If you need insurance coverage, talk to my man, Greg Fay, today. Go to GregFayInsurance.com. Friends, today on the podcast, repeat offenders Callie and Roz Picardo talking about their latest book, Money and Leadership. We're going to get into all of the things today. You absolutely need to talk to them. They are some of my favorite people on the planet. I've known them for years and years and years. I know that you're going to benefit from this conversation today. Again, Callie and Roz Picardo, I absolutely love how God is working in and through them. So now, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Callie and Roz. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited today to have two of my dear friends, repeat offenders on the podcast, Callie and Roz. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Tony. Yeah, thanks, it's a joy to be with you.
Yes, absolutely.
This latest project, all about healthy money, we're going to dive into all of it. But I am kind of curious, you guys are writers, you're in school, Callie, Roz, you're teaching school, you're pastor, you're doing 1,000 different things. Callie, let's start with you. How would you describe the calling that God has placed on your life?
That's a really good question, Tony. I feel like God's given me a calling to help people connect, be a bridge builder. And in some ways, it's people with each other. Roz and I very much have a better together motto for our life and our ministry, connecting people to one another, but also connecting them with God. And that goes in a variety of ways. And so that's spiritually helping them grow deeper, but also helping them as God leads them through emotional stuff, relational things, and also the financial piece as well. That just so often we disconnect from our faith. But when it connects back in and we let the Holy Spirit have access to that area of our lives, we can grow so much spiritually as well. So I very much see myself as a calling to be real bridges between people who might not know each other, but also building bridges with people with God.
And, Rod, same question to you.
Yeah, to piggyback on that. So I'm more of an apostle entrepreneur in that regard, but every church we pastored has been very diverse in terms of bringing an eclectic group of people together. And so that's been pretty much a bridge building journey. But I think for me specifically, it's been starting, but in this season now going deeper, helping to lead change and speaking to the everyday person that maybe in terms of writing that is journeying with Jesus and taking that next step in their faith. And I decided a while ago I didn't want to write any kind of ministry manuals or dissertation and use the million-dollar words and from seminary to do that, but for the everyday person. And then the other side of the equation is, like you mentioned, working in seminary and teaching and training and coaching. I view myself as equipping this generation and the next generation and seeing the best in people. That's really what I've always been about, is seeing the best in people and helping them on their journey to grow in their leadership and capacity.
And I get to be married with this guy. So like, he helps me in my own journey. Like, somehow he always sees the best in me too and says, Callie, you can do that. And I'm like, who, me? And he's like, yes, you, God working through you. And he does that. I've seen him do that with so many people. And so it's fun to get to do that in our lives together. It's fun.
I certainly have been on the benefit end of that myself. Callie, is there ever a moment in your life where you're like, Roz, I don't need all that best in me stuff. Just let me sit in my mud puddle for a little bit.
Roz is really good at asking good questions, challenging, but then letting me go to God with it, because he knows, like, he's not going to tell me what to do, but he also knows I'll go to God with it. And sometimes it's the question that I need to wrestle with God, and sometimes God's like, no, not that, but I've got something else for you. And so I'm on a journey going through seminary, about to graduate with my master's, in part because of a different question Roz asked me a while ago, and God was like, not that, but I've got something else. I want you to do seminary. And I'm like, I don't have time, Lord. And God's like, don't worry, just do a class or two a time. I gotcha. And it's like, okay, God. It's a wild ride, but Roz knows the Holy Spirit's going to guide me, but he asked the Holy Spirit questions that get the wrestling started.
Yeah, and the same thing goes when Callie started preaching and introduced her to our preaching team. We were looking for a female voice because we know in many churches that a majority of the folks are female, but what do we end up doing? Just having guys up there. And so we gave Callie an opportunity and she did great. And God's like, hey, why don't you invite the person that is under your roof with you to be a part of the preaching team? And so now she's a fan favorite and has really excelled and grown in that gifting. So it's been fun to watch.
It's neat. Different voices hit different people.
Amen to that. One of the things that I've noticed is you guys have lived really well into that better together kind of mentality that you mentioned, Callie. You guys have been hosting a podcast together. You're 144 episodes in. Roz, I want to start with you. If you could take one or two sentences and paraphrase what you've learned in 144 podcast episodes, what would you say?
I would say that human connection is a necessity for growth. And what I mean by that is we need one another. In a time of loneliness, with the loneliness epidemic and isolation, the folks that we've talked to and we've interviewed have direct connections with people. They're in the people business. Now, it might be lived out in a variety of ways, but it's that connection, that human touch that they have and that we can't replace.
That's good. Callie, what about you?
One of the big things I've learned through doing the podcast is sometimes to be better together, we've got to do some internal work, which seemed counterintuitive, right? Because better together, it's supposed to be together, but sometimes there's some inner heart work that we've got to do with God, sometimes with others as well. But in order to be better together, sometimes we've got to stop and do some reflective work with God and say, okay, let me turn the mirror back on myself. God, what's in there that needs some refining, that needs some confessing, that needs some repentance, that needs some of your healing work so that I really can be in relationships better? And so that was the surprising thing to me, because I thought, oh, better together. It's all about relational connections, communication, you know, good leadership, all that stuff. And God's like, no, there's some internal work too. Mm-hmm. It's both and.
Yes, yes.
Well, and the beautiful part about that is that you bring you with you into every relationship that you're a part of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a challenging situation.
And one of the things, piece too, like if you're not self-aware, it's hard to be
huge.
Able to relate well with others. And so some of it's just a self-awareness that allows you to be, and also it gives you compassion and being able to better connect with others too.
Do you guys have any practices to notice your blind spots?
It's a good question. I mean, we are pretty open and honest with one another, and have, I feel, some approachability with some of the people that work closely with us, and having honest feedback and evaluation. How is it being on the other side of me? Whether it's being married or whether it's being my supervisor or being supervised by me, and being aware of those idiosyncrasies and how to make the adjustments needed and necessary to work alongside of people instead of being demanding or not caring or being just task-oriented. You know, some folks are task oriented, some are people oriented, and sometimes it's hard to be both, right? And so it's, you know, different philosophies of thought. And so that's kind of helped me along the way in my journey.
Yeah, we process a lot together and have open communication, but also we really try to practice assuming positive intent. And so when it's approaching, it's like, hey, I know you're not trying to, but when you do this, it comes across this way. I don't think that's what you mean to have happen. And so, you know, that helps us with our conversation. And then I do spiritual direction about once a month with, I've been working, journeying with the same woman for about 14 years now. So she helps me notice patterns. When I'm just being honest, she helps me go to God and like lean in and let God do some of that not always comfortable convicting work. We also hang out with a lot of folks in recovery. And so some of those practices from the 12 steps of recovery have become things we do, especially taking a fearless moral inventory and just saying, okay, search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That prayer from Psalm 139 is a prayer of mine that I pray often. Okay, God, where am I off? Please show me my blind spots. And then practicing confession and repentance is huge for me. I'm a recovering perfectionist, so I gotta practice confession as a regular discipline to remind me how much I need God's grace, but then to receive that grace.
I know that there are a lot of leaders listening who lead at a really high level, much like both of you. One of the things that I'm always curious about is how you guys speak into each other's professional lives, because a lot of people create content, a lot of people lead, and they never do any of that with their spouse. What's it look like to bring your spouse along in that content creation, professional journey, where you've got an opinion and certainly your spouse has an opinion and all those opinions kind of like run into each other?
Yeah, I think it's, again, going back to the self-awareness, knowing how God has wired and uniquely made ourselves, but then each other and how we complement each other. And so Callie knows my strengths and my weaknesses and my ugly side. And
when it Roz knows mine.
Yeah, and when it, she has way less. You already know that, Tony. But
amen.
So like, for instance, when it comes to writing a book, and what I tell my students that are working on dissertations, just write. Don't try to make every sentence perfect and do footnotes along the way that are perfect. Because if you spend 10 hours to do one page or paragraph, you're never going to get this thing done. And so I have the ability to get something started, and Callie will come along and either with her own ideas and carefully introduce new ideas, edit, hey, you may want to say something this way. And we pair along with each other in that content creation.
Yeah. Roz has really helped me with that idea of just writing, because I am that, again, I'm that recovering perfectionist. So I want to make it perfect as I go. And then when I sit back down, I want to read everything I've read before and edit it. And then I run out of time to start anything new. And so he's really helped me that just don't worry about that. We'll get around to it later. Also just our different personalities. Roz is very permission giving on the editing side. And so often I'll show him the changes. He's like, can you just make them? Like, I trust you. Like, just change what needs to be changed. And so, you know, we kind of know who's stronger at what. And then, you know, with books, the editor they come back with the edited version, and I'm the one that actually will review all the edits.
And I don't want to do any of that.
But then on marketing, oh my goodness, then he's the one like, hey, we need to do this to get it out there, we gotta do this. And I think the biggest thing for us is we just had to learn how to communicate, and also to figure out, okay, how are we going to work on some of these things together when our best working times are not the same. Roz is a night owl, he gets his best work done at night. I'm worthless at that point. My best times are early in the morning when Roz is not awake yet and no one's awake in the house. And so we've had to figure out, okay, how do we come together, figure out what we're going to work on together, and then also be able to divide so we can work at our strong points as well. And then Roz has to be very patient with me because I always take way longer on anything than he ever would. But it's good. It's good. It's refining for both of us.
You guys have three beautiful daughters. And leading is hard enough when only one spouse is the primary leader. But since you guys are both really co-leaders in so many different places, and then you count riding together, how do you balance who's going to parent in what way and when with those three beautiful girls of yours?
mean, I think we take turns in the quote-unquote spotlight. So, for instance, Callie had a radio interview the other day, and they invited both of us, but it was at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, 7:30, which is, and we're getting the girls out in the morning. They got to be on time. We got to get them to school. We can't be late. It's a rush anyway. We can't both do that.
And I know I'm not going to be my best in terms of thinking and responding that early in the morning anyway. I don't have time to drink 10 cups of coffee before that point. So I just said, hey, I'll make sure the girls stay out of, you know, your way. They can't talk to you. They can't interrupt and knock on the door while you're on the radio. I will take them. And so it's knowing who's better at what time and in our optimal times too.
And figuring out when we need support from others. And yeah, that's been hard because we don't have family in town. So sometimes family does come in town to help. You know, some of it's been praying, okay, God, this doesn't make sense. I mean, it was such a blessing earlier this year. We both had overlapping work trips, and our main go-to sitter in town had to take the day off, who's like the one trusted person who'll stay overnight. My parents weren't available to come in. We were like, Lord, what do we do? And so sometimes it's praying for a creative alternative option. And so it ended up, you know, our oldest had to spend the night for the first time with a school friend who was just like, we knew the family, and the family was just like, oh, thank you for asking us. We're like, it was so stressful to like ask someone for help. Like sometimes it's hard to ask for help, Tony. But they said yes, and we're like excited to help. And then my cousin, who's got girls the similar age, took the younger two who didn't have to be at school, and like they had such a good time. And it was just amazing how it all worked out. There's a verse in Isaiah 40 that talks about how God gently leads those who have young. And that's one of the verses I go to a lot. I'm like, okay, God, remember, you know why we have young kids, and you've called us to do this. So if we're supposed to do this, God, will you care for our kids? Will you show us the right option for that? And I feel like it's always moving target because they're in a different season now. Like they have different needs at 7, 5, and 3 than they did when they were, you know,
babies
and younger. They didn't mind us gone. Now they're like, you're gone again. How long? How many days? I don't know if I approve of that. I'm like, okay, then. What's your plan?
Or we want to go with, or...
Yeah. Yeah, so now we're trying to figure out, you know, a trip coming up that we're both speaking at. I'm like, okay, is there someone we take with us on this trip so that they can go too? And so, I don't know, Tony, if you've got any wisdom.
Nothing. I've got nothing.
Trying to figure it out. But the one thing I've been so thankful with Roz, like, so with me stepping onto the preaching team, I'm not one of the pastors of the church. I'm not officially an employee of the church, but I'm one of the voices of the church. And so there have been times where we've had a sick kid, and since I'm preaching, Roz's pastor is the one staying home with the kids. But he's very much had this beautiful approach of, okay, we're better together. That's part of our mantra. I am allowing ministry to go forth in this case by being home with the kids so Callie can go and do ministry. And so we very much value each other's ministry and try to say, okay, God, who needs to be where, when, who's flexible, how do we do this? And with kids, sometimes it's, you know, okay, we're canceling every meeting we can because someone's sick, and we're both going to try to work remotely and tag team, and then we'll try to get them happy for the hour that both of us can't miss something, or we'll try to time that for nap time. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure it out, but I don't know. It's a very much of a one day at a time with lots of prayer and lots of trying to honor one another and not saying, no, my life is the most important. I think COVID helped us with that too. Like we had to do that for several months straight of figuring out, okay, we're both trying to work with kids at home.
No childcare.
Yeah.
It certainly changed the landscape.
Into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This latest book, Healthy Money, give me the genesis story behind that. Where did this come from? How did you guys decide it was time to write another book?
Well, the publisher asked us, so that was a cool thing. It's nice if a publisher asks you to write a book that is similar to your heart. We'd written one already called Money Talks. And with a different publisher, Roz had worked with Invite Resources on a book called Dynamite Prayer with our friend Sue Nelson Kibbe that just has been an incredible resource on prayer for individuals and groups and churches. And the publisher said, okay, can you all write something on finances? And we were saying, well, what's new, what's different? We've written a book on that, but that one was more how to. As we started talking, we know so many people who know what they should do with finances. There are some that need help with the how to, but there are a lot that know what they should do and don't. Like, they know they should have a budget. They know they should avoid debt. They know they should save for long-term purchases. Like, they know the things. Maybe the nuance is harder, but they know big principles, what they should do, and they don't. Mm-hmm. And so we said, what if we could write a resource that would help people get under the surface with God spiritually, like going deeper to say, okay, God, how have you wired me? God, how has my childhood impacted what's going on now? How have my adult experiences impacted what I'm doing now? And God, you did some healing work with that. So that's why the tagline, I love it, is a 30-day journey toward spiritual, emotional, and financial freedom. It's a 30-day devotional style. So it's something, you know, if you tell me I have to do something for 5 years, I'm gonna be like, I don't have that much time. Like, that seems like too much work. I got too much going on. I can't devote 5 years of my life to this. But if you say, okay, for 30 days, can you commit to going through with God and praying through finances? I said, well, maybe. Okay, and I'm going to get in the right direction. Okay, I'll go that way. And so it's to get you moving in the right direction, hopefully get some deeper healing that you maybe pick it up for the finances, but it impacts so many other areas of your life as well.
Hey, guys, just pausing this conversation with Callie and Roz to remind you to support some of our key partners. I absolutely love our partners. They make all of this possible. Some of the people that are so crucial to the podcast family, Trent Barga and his real estate team, the Barga team, you're absolutely going to want to talk to them for your next home, your dream home, maybe an investment home. There's never been a better time to buy. I know that as you're listening to Callie and Roz talk about healthy money, you're definitely going to want to think about your next investment, and Trent can help you with that. Hey, speaking of homes, have you checked out Five Star Home Services yet? If you live in Ohio, you got to talk to myfivestarhomeservices.com for HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. Tell them Tony sent you. One of the things I love about this company is their profit on purpose mentality, which means that they, one of the reasons why they want to be profitable is to give back to the community. And they've done that in so many ways. I'm so thankful for them. So please support our sponsors, our partners, and tell them that Tony sent you. It absolutely means the world. Now let's finish up this conversation with Callie and Roz. So my kind of target audience are those Christian executives and entrepreneurs who are doing the work out there to build the kingdom. And what I know is that they're leading lots of different people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is it important as a leader to have the people that you're leading get a firm grasp of kingdom economics?
Oh my goodness, so important.
I think it affects every area. And so if you as a business owner, or you're entrusted in stewarding a company, you want it to thrive. You want it to come about in honest ways. At the end of the day, you need margin, which equals dollars. But you want to do it in healthy ways. It's impossible or very difficult if your employees who are responsible in helping you with that don't know how to manage resources well, or are in debt themselves, or have declared bankruptcy. Because oftentimes we have protocols set up to have checks and balances, but their philosophy and mindset of money directly impacts the organization. And so it's helping those employees get under the surface. This is, you know, like we said, this is not a how-to. There's so much information out there. This is like Scazzaro going under the surface and identifying what are those barriers that are preventing me from either implementing a budget or you know, emotional spending or being too tight and having a scarcity mindset. All of those things, all these employees directly affect your company and your bottom line, the way that they are embodying just those principles and how they're either leading their departments or all those things. So I think it's, and ultimately you want those employees to experience freedom, right? I mean, that's, yeah. We know that when people are free, they are more generous. When people are free, they're going to be able to work and be fulfilled in ways that they otherwise wouldn't. And so we don't want to just employ people, especially faith leaders, but we want to create a movement. And whether it's HVAC or plumbing and electric, whether it's real estate, whatever it is, we are impacting God's kingdom in that corner of the universe that God has called us to steward.
Yeah, as you're talking, Roz, I'm kind of the two areas that I would say it boils down to. You're talking about the way they steward the resources at work, often the mm-hmm. way they can handle finances in their personal life, and mm-hmm. plays out sometimes similar, sometimes different ways at work. Mm-hmm. But that mindset, their patterns and tendencies, whether healthy or unhealthy, with mm-hmm. their personal finances, can play out in the way they handle work resources. But then also, I know I've seen employees, coworkers that have had so much stress financially mm-hmm. outside of work mm-hmm. that they can't focus on their job.
Nope.
I mean, they're so stressed. Sometimes they're having to take on an extra job outside mm-hmm. of work as well to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Then that stress bleeds over because they're just exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so to have them healthy in other areas, financially, emotionally, spiritually, with their personal side, allows them to bring their best self to work, because it's not disconnected. You know, if we're going through something personally at home, it is hard to just leave it at home if it's something big.
Callie, I want to ask you this question specifically because Roz gets to play with people's emotions as a pastor. I know that there's a leader listening who's scared to death about getting below the surface with the people that he or she offices with. What advice, what wisdom, what's the first step do you give to a leader who's like, I want to get deeper, but I don't know how?
Yeah. You don't have to dive into the deep end, would be my advice. I'm like, let's start at the shallow end. Let's like wade in yep. a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to go fully in, but start going in the right direction mm-hmm. you want to go. I've been having fun hearing some of the stories coming back from those that have read Healthy Money, because as we start sharing some of the details, it's amazing how quickly people are opening up. We've had people just sharing, especially since it's getting to some of the childhood stuff, which is more impacted us unless our bad decisions. They start sharing, gosh, when I was a child, like, here's how finances were handled at home. And they're sharing big stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're sharing things like, I remember the debt collectors coming and how that impacted me. I remember having to go down and put a little money on the bill because my parents didn't want to show up. Like, I had to be the one to go take the money.
Wow.
I mean, they're opening up and sharing those things. Or I remember how we couldn't spend anything. Mm-hmm. Or I remember every time his birthday, my parents divorced, and so they were competing over my attention. I got all the best birthday gifts because they were trying mm-hmm. to buy my love. You know, it's a different way, but they're sharing deep stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's a different way. They're not having to share their budget. They're not having to share how much is in their bank account. Like, it's an easy way in. And we've got these five financial mindsets as well that people have had fun, like, kind of taking the free assessment, figuring out how they're wired, and then talking to the people around them how they're wired, and just sharing stories of how that's impacted them. And it's been a easier way in. So I would say, don't feel like you need to dump in the deep end. Just dip your toe in, start mm-hmm. going there, go the direction you want to go. But don't be afraid to go. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's not bad to have those deeper relations. And then you know what's going on people's hearts. It gives you more compassion as a leader as well. Mm-hmm. If you're leading from a position of faith, it gives you the ability to know how to pray for your employees too, which is such a gift. If you're a leader who cares, mm-hmm. they want to show up for you more.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the five money mindsets, five common money mindsets that you talk about in the book. Roz, can you run us through the five? And then I would be interested to hear which one each of you are.
Yeah.
The first one would be the benevolence mindset. And these are people that are givers. They live to give. When there's a need, they meet a need. They're giving to their local church or nonprofits. They're helping friends. They're treating them to lunch. The shadow side of that is, of course, maybe I'm not deserving of receiving from other people, or I have a pride that I don't want to receive from other people, or I'm giving with strings attached, or creates maybe a savior complex. Hey, I'm going to save the day so other people can say, hey, wait, look at me. What would you add to that?
Yeah, I would say that none of these mindsets are good or bad. They all have better.
They all just is.
They all have a hard side that you can tend toward, but you could be a healthy version of these and avoid those. So that one's the benevolence. You want to do carpe diem next?
Yeah, and carpe diem is, of course, seize the day. And so you live for experiences. It's instead of steady plotting for the future, you are living in the moment. And so whether it's that purchase that you are just spontaneously making, or an experience that you want to have, you live for those kinds of things. And you, it's not that you're frivolous with your resources, but you want to enjoy life, and you don't want to just pass on that money when you die, but you want to enjoy it now while you're living. And so that's more that carpe diem mindset.
Is that the one that makes me buy things off of Instagram at 5 a.m.?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
Dang it!
I would say so.
That might be you, Tony.
All right, number three.
Another one's the security mindset. Mm-hmm. That's the one that I would rather have more in their savings account. They probably are savers, not spenders. They're good at that long-term financial plotting.
They may be the millionaire next door.
Yeah.
You know, that you just wouldn't otherwise think.
But even if they've saved for a long-term purchase, is probably going to have a hard time actually pulling the trigger and making that purchase. Because sometimes that's bigger spending or even giving can cause anxiety. This person can tend toward more of a scarcity mindset if they're not careful, where they just won't take any risk at all. But in a healthy spot, hopefully they'll take some modest risks, some balanced risks that are thought through, planned for, but yes, then they're willing to go for it. Mm-hmm. Another one's the laissez-faire mindset. That one is the go with the flow, let it be, whatever it is it will. And, you know, the healthy side's, you know, where the Apostle Paul says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry. You know, there's that contentment piece to it. But the shadow side is if it tends toward more of a self-defeating mindset of I've just given up because I've got so much debt, I can never get my budget to, I never can get that to balance. Like, there's more month than money. I'm just not even going to try.
Yeah. I don't want to know how much debt I have. I don't want to look at the credit card bill. I don't want to look at the student loan payments. I just.
Yeah.
Just ignore it.
Just ignore it.
It's not ever going to go away. So I'm just going to not even pay attention to it. So that's the dangerous side of that one. And then the final one's the collector mindset. That one's the person that likes to collect things.
Baseball cards, cars, antiques, you name it.
It could even be like little collections of different angels that all are different, you know, like whatever it is. They like their collection, and they might even have balanced finances, but they like their stuff. And those folks, they have a cool opportunity because often they're in circles with other collectors that like the same stuff. They've got the perfect opportunity to build relationships that can open the door to share faith. They could start a fresh expression of people that all love classic cars. They hang out at classic cars together, and then they end up talking about Jesus with people. But the challenge can be to find your worth in those things. And so if a possession is something you can't part with, you don't possess that possession anymore. That possession possesses you. And so that's the challenge side of the collector. And so we found that most people are kind of one or a combination of these. Roz, you learned something interesting that you've got kind of one mindset at home and another at work.
Yeah. So helping lead an organization, I have more of a security mindset and thinking about budgets and meeting budgets and fundraising. So I like to budget conservatively, but also when there's a necessity to spend, to be able to spend. But then on a personal level, I'm more benevolence and what would you say?
Carpe diem.
So I'm very generous, but also, hey, you're graduating from seminary, Callie. You're also having a milestone birthday. Let's take a cruise. We've never been on a cruise together. Let's do it.
25, right, Callie?
Yes. For the 15th time.
Yes. So that would be, my blend. But, it's interesting because when we were having this discussion with some other leaders, they said, I have one mindset when it comes to the organization I'm leading, but another when it comes to the personal side.
And I would say I'm probably more consistent both at work, where I lead at the seminary, and here at home. I'm definitely more of a security mindset both places, but also a benevolence mindset. Mm-hmm. I love giving, but I like the planned giving. We had to learn for the health of our marriage, since we both like giving, but mine needs to be planned, and Roz is carpe diem, so he's spontaneous. We have to budget for spontaneous giving. Otherwise, he breaks the budget every single time, and then we start fighting, and that's not good. But since we know how we're wired, we can plan that into the budget. I can know that Roz, for his joy and love language and the way he lives his life, he wants to be able to give spontaneously. I need it planned so we can budget for it. So when you start to know how you're wired, you can start to know those trends. I can also notice, okay, I know we talked about going on this cruise, but should we really spend that much? Should we spend that money? We've saved it. Should we even spend it? And Roz is the one like, yes, let's go for it. So we balance each other out if we work together and if we know how each other's wired.
Are there two kinds of mindsets in marriage that can lead to like certain success or certain demise? Like are there trends? Like you should be like, I need to work on my mindset in order to get out of this. Like if both people are carpe diem, is all of a sudden the money gone or what's it look like?
I think it depends if they're healthy versions of these mindsets. So if you have two people that are healthy and self-aware and willing to go beneath the surface and have some good conversations, they can be healthy. I mean, if you got someone laissez-faire, if you got two laissez-faire mindset people, they need a good financial advisor or some sort of accountability. Someone's got to look after the finances. Someone's got to be guiding the plan. If you've got two of the same, that's where you got to watch. Like if you've got two carpe diem, you've got to know, okay, we got to automate the saving so that somehow it's happening. We just need to put the saving on autopilot so it just happens and check in on it every year to see if we need to change amounts, but we just need to prioritize it somehow because otherwise we'll spend it all. So, if you know yourself, you can name those. I think it's good to have a balance, but the balance is hard too because it can lead to friction in the marriage. So that's where you got to have some good conversation, really, whichever way you are. I don't know.
Yep.
Tony, any of those strike you?
Be curious what.
Oh, I'm definitely carpe diem. I mean, it's just, I can also lean towards benevolence. And then what I've learned in my leadership style is that I need some people to help, like the security mindset people. Like I need a Cali kind of person in my life all the time, right? I just don't even like spreadsheets. Yeah. Like if I could just as a matter of fact, I serve on a board and I was like, well, I'll help, but under the condition that the part of the job that involved the spreadsheet can be outsourced to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wise. And often you'll see CFOs that tend to have the security mindset. That's often the case with good finance people. But then you think if you get a room full of security mindset people, the organization's not going to take risk when needed.
Yep.
So how do you balance that out? How do you pay attention to the people on your team? Mm-hmm. And just get the right people on there. But if you've got the right people, but they're not letting things move forward, being able to even just have those healthy conversations and name it, and to be able to name and, okay, I know we're a room full of security mindset people, so we're going to tend to save. We're not going to tend to take risks. But is this something God's calling us to do? If so, let's take this risk. Let's bathe it in prayer. Let's budget for it, but let's go for it. So even if you've got folks that are of that, all of that mindset, naming it and then being able to work with it helps you to realize, oh, okay, this is the voice I'm talking out of. Okay, maybe there's another perspective. There are other ways of doing things out there. But if we are aware, then we could hopefully go in the right direction, or at least start to try to have the real good conversations. And that goes back to your question, Tony, of how do you get beneath the surface for the leader that's afraid to have those conversations? Think about the power if you all do have that in your organization. Mm-hmm. Think about that culture you could develop if there's that honest of just kind of, you know, we've got self-awareness and group awareness and can pay attention to how this variety of individuals together shape the culture of our organization. What's our organization's financial mindset? You know, often made up of whoever's leading, driving the ship. Often it's that CEO that's really moving it in a certain direction, or it's you've got a ton of people with the same mindset and they're moving it forward or taking it in a direction that might not be right. I mean, if you're aware of it, if you can do that, you can have some really good conversation.
That's so good. Okay, I have one more question for you guys, but before I ask it, where's the best place to learn all things healthy money? Where's the best place to subscribe to your podcast, get on the newsletter list, all the things?
Well, the book Healthy Money is easy to get on Amazon.com. And then also Invite Resources is the publisher, and they've got discounts on bulk orders. So if you're doing a bulk order, check out Invite Resource, see if there's some discounts there. We're also working on developing some more tools that'll be coming out later this year, some kits that different groups can use with this. So keep an eye out for those. Those will be with Invite Resource as well. We've got the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. That's available on really iTunes, all Spotify, the main podcasting platforms. So pick your favorite platform and look for Better Together with Callie and Rosario Picardo. And we'd love to have you journey along with us. We've also, Russ has got a coaching website, rosariopicardo.com for Picardo coaching. And I've got Deep Roots Financial Coaching as well. So we've got a lot of different ways to connect, but I don't know, whether you want a podcast, a book, or some coaching.
And of course,
Tony's got you covered with coaching, but you know.
Well, a lot of opportunities there for growth, for sure. Okay. I normally like to ask an advice question where I have you go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice. But I was thinking that since you guys have been on the podcast multiple times, I think, Roz, this might be like your fifth time on the podcast. Yeah. I'm going to go in a different direction. Just throw a little curveball here. What are we celebrating in your life 1 year from today?
I would say our kids taking more steps in growing in their faith in relationship with Jesus. I think for Callie and I, that's probably one of the most important things.
Yeah.
Above writing books, leading organizations, job titles, is having those girls become leaders and followers of Jesus.
Yeah. I would agree. We're really trying to help them go deeper. We did a little spiritual retreat with the oldest a week or so ago, and I taught her just some of my prayer practices, just with journaling and using a feelings wheel to name your emotions, and then being able to take those to God because she's got big emotions, and sometimes it's hard to figure out how to handle those. But hey, God's big enough to handle those. But the others are at different places, so we're trying to figure out what do each of them need to move forward in their faith. Yeah, and so just overall helping people move deeper in their faith. So that's our hope, first and foremost, with our personal lives, with our girls, but then it's what we want to see with Mosaic Church. That's what I want to see as I work with donors at United Theological Seminary. We want to see people move forward in their faith and seeing those lives transformed. That's what we just want to keep celebrating. Transform lives, people set free with the love of Jesus Christ.
That's so good, guys. I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you guys so much for being so generous with your time and the work that you guys do for the kingdom of God. Like I just love cheering and rooting for you guys from the sidelines.
Oh, well, thanks, we love Tony. You, Tony. Thank you.
Such a fun dialogue around healthy money and where some of that comes from in our life. I think it's so important as leaders that we take the time to understand our tendencies with money. I love the way Callie and Roz dive into this stuff. Pick up their copy of the book. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Tell them Tony sent you. And as always, I'm super thankful for you, for the connection that we have here on the podcast. And if you haven't signed up for our Life and Leadership newsletter yet, text the word values. Text the word values to 66866. Get signed up today. You can go to followtheNumber2LeadCoaching.com as well. All good ways to get into our weekly newsletter. So thankful for you. And remember, guys, if you want to follow Jesus, you got to be willing to move.